prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's 13 September 2022. Welcome to tonight's program. I have got a very special guest tonight. First time you've been on with me. First time I spoke to the gentleman just a few days ago, but I got a copy of a book here that he's written. I'm going to tell you about in a minute. We're going to bring up a guest I think you might want to pay attention to, folks, because there's a lot of insight to share and a lot of wisdom to share on a certain topic. Before we go to him, though, don't forget that we are going to have Bible study this weekend. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, you can join us by going to our website, PastorButch.com, and click on Live Stream, or you can listen on the phone. If you don't have a computer, listen on the phone to what we're saying. At 10:30, we always start off with praise reports and the testimonies and prayer requests. At 11:30, we go into current events. And, folks, I think this current events session, especially the last part of it, you don't want to miss. I'm dead serious. I'm going to prove to you the standing army that is being developed all around us in ways that you would never have thought possible. You don't want to miss that. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to have Wild Bill Finley. Bill Finley will join us. Now, if you never heard of Wild Bill, you go to online and type in Wild Bill. You'll probably come up with many videos that Wild Bill's done. He's out of Florida. He'll be joining us by Skype or Zoom for the teaching part of the session. So you don't want to miss that. Again, go to PastorButch.com, listen on live stream, or you can call if you don't have a computer, like I said. You can dial 339-209-5013. That's 339-209-5013 to join us Saturday morning starting 10:30 a.m. And, folks, I hope you do it. I really do. I know people watch it after the teaching because they can't watch it live. I realize that. But people do watch it live all around the world. If you can join us, that'd be wonderful. You really and truly would. I sincerely mean that. And don't forget, we still got the special on the Jim McCanney's water filters. If you have a Berkey container, a stainless steel container, his filters will fit any stainless steel Berkey. And, folks, I'm saying this from bottom of my heart. I've sold Berkeys for years, and I've always thought they were the best, and they are one of the best. I've always thought they were the best out there, but they were one of the best for sure. But James's water filters will do more than the Berkey water filters would do. You have to have two to cover all the grounds from Berkey. The same one would do everything that it takes two different sets of filters do for Berkey. So they're available on sale, 10% off. If you want to call and order one, just call Lisa. Use the credit card, debit card, whatever you want to do. Call 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Now, if you want to buy a 10-pack of them, what you do you for a long time, folks, but that's a good way to do it. For $359, minus 36 because of the special, take up 10%. You can get 10 filters, or you order four of them, folks, for 10% off also. And right off the top of my head, that price is leaving my mind. I'm sorry about that. But you can get those ordered and get them out to you as soon as possible because everyone's going to have clean water. That's one thing you can do without ever. Again, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And the four filters are $169 minus 17, okay? So you can get them while they're on sale. James, join us next week to talk about this in some more detail. Special guest on name of Pastor Ted Whalen. He's been with me in the past. It's been several months now. Ted sees this Bible a lot the way I do, and I'm going to make this comment and we'll get to our guest. Everyone talks about the Second Amendment rights and God-given rights, and I agree that these are things that we must protect. But I'm going to tell you what. Now, you listen to what I'm going to tell you. You'll find this in Numbers chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 4, Luke 22:36. God does not give rights. He gives duties. He commanded his people, of which I am one, to arm themselves for defense of the family, their tribes, or the states, and their nation. It wasn't a right. He said, I want you to arm yourselves. And Christ told disciples, you sell your coat and buy a sword. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. So I don't have a right to arm ourselves. I have a duty to. And when we obey God's commands or his duties, he blesses us. We haven't done it for a long time. That's why we're losing our nation at such a rapid pace, folks, because we've forgotten God. But nonetheless, Ted Whalen sees this a lot like I do. You don't want to miss tomorrow's program, whatever you do. Now, again, our guest tonight is a gentleman by the name of Alan Clark. He's written a book entitled Soldier's Blood and Bloodied Money, Wars and the Ruling Elites. And in this book, you'll find, oh my gosh, I don't know how many endorsements, if you will, from different people, and tributes from different people, including President Ronald Reagan and Ross Perot. And my goodness, folks, he'd go through there and name all kinds of names. Jerry Falwell, you probably remember him. He's been going quite a while now. But these are things that tributes to Alan himself. His book has been talks about a lot of people, folks, also because they read the book. And I want to tell you, in this book, you're going to find information. A lot of it you may know, a lot of it you may not know. But for example, in chapter 1, you're going to find Jesus' personal appearance on the stage of history. In chapter 2, between two worlds, spiritual warfare. And you go down there, you'll find other chapters in section 2 of the book. You'll find arms merchants, bankers, Morgans and Rothschilds, the elitists, Rockefellers, politicians, lawyers, and Masons. Folks, this book is full information that you're going to want to share with your friends and family because it's that important. And I mean that, it really is. And you'll find section 4, a chapter entitled Banker, Oil, and Banana Wars, Central and South America. Folks, America has been involved in war since the beginning. And I will say this very clearly. Most wars are never truly justified. Usually done for somebody's wealth, gain, or power, or somebody got their feelings hurt. And that's a fact. Very few wars are totally justified. And in no war has both sides been right. No. They may have been both been wrong, but they're not going to be both be right. And a righteous war comes from scriptural basis. And we don't have time to get into it tonight. So understand this. War, as General Medley Butler said, and is quoted also in this book, war is a racket. It's a money-making scheme at the expense of soldiers' blood for the bloody money. Now, this book is something you got to get a copy of that I appreciate. And, Alan, are you there? It is good to have you, sir. Really, it's an honor to have you tonight, and I do mean that. Thanks for joining me.
Well, I'm delighted, and I thank you for this opportunity to have our conversation.
Well, I really appreciate what you've tried to do here. I've been trying to say this for years now. I know you got a few years on me, and you go back, Phil and I do, and more involved in the military than I ever was. But I was involved during the Vietnam area conflict, and I lost friends over there, and people have died since. Got home from different diseases from Agent Orange, other things. And I look back over the years, and I see that we were used as pawns in a board game for the wealth of people. I know that we flew drugs out of Vietnam. I saw myself packed in body bags in C-130s. They called Air America. I know this to be a fact, but being dumb and young and naive, I thought this was all for our good because we're Americans. Had no idea that wars are for profit. I didn't know that, but now I do. And now I've been trying to tell people on the radio for going on 30 years, war is a racket. Don't get involved in it. Don't send your sons and daughters to die on somebody's in some foreign nation for somebody's oil or other wealth they may have over there. And before getting into about your book, I want to tell the folks a little bit about you. What's your background?
Well, I think I have what I'm very proud of in the background. Plus, I think it's rather compelling and interesting, and reflects perhaps a lot of the ways that people have come into America. On my father's side, his father's side came in from Scotland and Northern Ireland into Massachusetts and New Jersey in the 1700s. And a couple of my ancestors on that side of the family were Revolutionary War soldiers. And I'm really proud of that. And as a consequence, I'm able to be qualified to be a member of the Sons of the American Revolution.
I want to say this, if you don't mind, Alan. I have a picture hanging across the room from me in my office. I'm looking at it right now. Michael Paul, he was in the Virginia Regiment, and he was killed in the Revolutionary War. And it's a date on the stone and when he was killed. So, yes, I appreciate that. You go right ahead.
Yeah. And then on the paternal mother's side, they were just a good old regular American family. You know, they were very religious family, and they came across country and came down from the Midwest down into Texas. And both my father's parents died at his very young age. His father died in a railroad accident when he was one. And when he was two, his mother died from the Spanish influenza epidemic of 1918. So my father was an orphan at age two, raised by a grandmother who died.
And I'll add this, too. Most folks don't know this, too. You probably do. That the influenza was called the vaccinations given to the soldier in World War One. But anyway, you go ahead now.
And so it's, you know, just a regular story of America. His grandfather was actually a very prominent lawyer in Nebraska, and my father became an attorney. He went in the Army in World War II. 2 months after I was born, he volunteered twice to go overseas, but never did. But then he was in the Army for 20 years and went to Korea toward the end of the war. He was in military intelligence, and I always thought about that branch for myself. And eventually I was in military intelligence, so we're a second-generation military intelligence family. My mother's family is really very interesting. Her father was an immigrant from Asturias, Spain, and he was obviously Hispanic. His name was Plácido de la Fuente. And he moved into Mexico with his brother early 1900s, and then into Texas. They got married. My mother was born in Mercedes, Texas, raised in Mission, which right now just crawling with immigrants coming across the border. And so she spoke Spanish before she spoke English. But she became a nurse. She and Dad met and got married. And then 3 years later, I was born, and I have a sister, and I have two daughters and two grandchildren. And on the other side of her family, they were a German family, and it's really something that I mentioned in my book, part of the economic clash across the world, you know, about 120, 30 years ago, was between Germany and England. And on my mother's side of the family, her mother was out of a business and diplomatic family that was German. Some of her ancestors were in the consul service of Germany. They were from Flensburg, Germany, and he was the consul in the consulate corps for the Scandinavian countries. Anyway, her mother was the daughter of a German woman who was married to a German businessman in Matamoros, Mexico, which is just across the border from Brownsville. So I have a very interesting background, Spain, Germany, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and United Kingdom and so forth. But, you know, we're just a regular old family. I tell people in my speeches, I said, my family, we've never made very much money, but we've always served our country. And my family, through four generations, Pastor, has 170 years of military service.
Wow.
I've been blessed that I had a goal very early in life, and I urge all young people to set their heart and mind out to have a goal in life, you know. Number one, to love the Lord and to serve the Lord, no question about that. Serve your community. But to decide what your goals in life are going to be. At age 8, I decided I wanted to be an officer in the Army. So I studied very hard. I focused, concentrated, stayed out of trouble. And so I went to the Military Academy at West Point after 11th grade. So I'm a high school dropout. I went to the academy just by one of those flukes that I got admitted early. And I was the youngest man in my class of 735 students, cadets, and we graduated 504. So I was obviously still the youngest, and was in the Army for 5 years, and we can get into a little bit more of that. It was just one of these things that I just wanted to serve my country, and I did. And unfortunately, I had a very serious wounding that almost killed me, but by the grace of God, the Lord saved me for other things in life. And I've had a rich life in public service and business and in the veterandom and service at the National Veterans Affairs and served on the governor's staff. And I've had my own company and real estate investment. Unfortunately, my first marriage didn't last but 30 years because my first wife really had some very strong issues that she was suffering from what she had to go through with me as an amputee and suffering from post-traumatic stress. But I just celebrated 2 days ago my 18th wedding anniversary with my second wife, who is the widow of another West Point graduate. So that's kind of a capsule in a lot of minutes, but I tried to shorten it as much as I could.
Well, you know, you're right. You've had a very rich and mostly blessed life, no doubt. And you're very qualified to speak of what you wrote about in this book about soldiers' blood and bloody money. You certainly are qualified. You served. I have a friend of mine out of Pennsylvania named Daryl, who served the Air Force and Army. Was career military. And he understands, too, what you wrote about here. He's the one that many years ago brought to attention General Smedley Butler. But these things are, you're well qualified to speak on them. That's what I'm trying to say. You know wherewith you speak, and you have got the qualifications to share this information and do it from knowledge, not just perspective and other people's opinions. You know, and we share a little bit that's in the same didn't go through much you did, obviously, but I have seen so many things in my short time involved in that, and the friends I lost in the Vietnam era of a war and all these things. I see this now, and I saw how he walked out, just like he did in Afghanistan, walked away and left to go. The people there basically died for nothing in the end, and that's usually most way most wars go. But what made you... How did you get started writing this book? I mean, and how long did it take to write it to start with? But what made you decide, hey, I got to reveal these things? How long did it take to put it together?
Well, you know, by being a double-leg amputee as I am, Pastor, I haven't spent time on the golf course or, running or doing a lot of things that people that are able-bodied do and spend their time. And so my time has been spent through the years and... you know, church activities and civic activities, charitable activities, veteran activities, and I've always loved reading. I mean, I remember third and fourth grade in my elementary school library in Japan. I lived in Japan for 3 years. My dad was an Army officer stationed there after World War II, 48 to 52. So we were there 3 years. I would go to the library, and I found this series of books of biographies of famous Americans, and I started reading those. And, you know, I just started to derive a great sense of pride in the people that made America and the people that sacrificed to bring this country to what it was, the beacon of light for freedom around the world. You know, people came here and they left places where there were dictators, and whether they were the royalty that controlled and the elitist controlled and religious wars and everything. They came here to start a new life, and they succeeded. And, you know, we became that in 1776, you know, after our Declaration of Independence, and then 1787, the signing of our Constitution, you know, the formation and writing of our Constitution and signing. And all of these things came to bear with me that made me, at a very young age, very acquainted and cognizant of this greatness of this land and what it's all meant. And it's all part and parcel of what helped me love my country and care about my country. And originally, you know, I was just a churchgoer, and I've become much more strong in my faith through the decades than I originally was, but started with pride in America and learned about all that. And so I began, after the war, I began to want to continue to serve my country. So I got involved in politics. I've run for office a couple of times. I've been a presidential appointee at the National VA and on the governor's staff in Texas, and been very involved with a lot of campaigns through the years. So I've had time to pay attention to what's going on in the world, the political issues, and I began to study history. And after I retired 2005, I really started to study it. I wrote my first book called Wounded Soldier, Healing Warrior, which is just an autobiography, and it's basically out of print. There's a few issues on Amazon. It's called Wounded Soldier, Healing Warrior. And then about 5 years later, I wrote another book called Valor in Vietnam, which is on Amazon still. It's stories about Vietnam that I talked personally to veterans and got their stories and what happened to them, what got them in the military, what happened to them in Vietnam, and the after effects and what their life was like. So the combination of these first two books kind of got me interested in writing, and so I began to study history, and I started picking up books that would talk about history and what were the backdrop of history. You know, we study history in school, and, you know, we learn these facts. We learn this and that, and sometimes today the schools don't even teach you very much about what American history is all about, especially my own war as an example. But I began to study it, and I began to find out things about the religious wars, you know, after the Protestant Reformation in the early 1500s and everything, the fights between the Catholics and the Protestants, you know, in Europe, the 30 Years War and so forth. And then I began to understand and recognize the forces that are behind movements in the world relative to getting power and fulfilling greed and making money and, just doing it at the extent of and leaving everything behind except moving toward a goal of amassing something, amassing power.
Well, yeah, and I, when you saw that, I got to ask this question. You started seeing some truth then that I know hurt. I went through the same scenario, probably not as deeply as you did, but I went through the same scenario. When I started seeing the truth behind a lot of these things, it actually hurt me that I had been so deceived, but it just hurt me because I was disappointed in what I found out. So I have to. When you started seeing these things, I'm sure that you were a little bit bewildered and a little bit dismayed maybe for a while to these things settling in your mind. I'm sorry, go ahead. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Mad. Yes, I was too. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, so I began to study it, and I had a plan originally of doing three volumes. I was going to do the specific American wars, you know, which are in this book, Revolutionary War, Civil War, Spanish-American, and what I call the Banana Oil Wars of Central America. And then I was going to start with Russo-Japanese in early 1900s and the Boer Wars in Africa, and then go up through World War One, and then the Bolshevik Revolution in China, Japan, and then I was going to maybe finish with World War Two, and then a third volume, I was going to start with the Korean War, and up for about the 70 years until now, you know, my own war, plus everything has begun to happen with Desert Storm and Iraq and Afghanistan. But, you know, I spent about 4 years Buying books. I've spent thousands of dollars on my resource books and my research books that are in my bibliography for my own book, and pulling these things together. And I mean, it was basically a commitment for 3 years, just getting up in the morning, coming in, reading, writing and everything, and putting it all together. And so it was just a massive commitment for me, but it was a labor of love because I just had to do it. But rather than just talk about warfare, you know, people say, well, this was what happened in the war, you know, in the Revolutionary War. Washington was here, the British were here, and, you know, they finally surrendered at Yorktown, and tell the stories, you know, or the Civil War, North versus South, the battles. I said, you know, the real story is what in the world caused those wars, and also what I call the casualties, you know, the casualties. What has affected me, because I was the director of the National Cemetery System for a year and a half at the National VA. So I was overseeing 115 national cemeteries in the United States. And I visited personally 85 of those cemeteries in 18 months. I shook hands with every single one of the employees at those, personally shook hands at every one of those cemeteries. And I looked out, I would look out, and I went to one cemetery in North Carolina. And I looked out there and I said, my gosh, you all tell me you're full. Look at all that that land there, all that ground there. And says, Mr. Clark, that's where all the prisoners that died in the Civil War and prisoner of war camps in this area are buried there. We have no idea who they were. They were just buried in mass graves. And it just touched me so horribly, you know, about this kind of a thing happening here, also happening in the North. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that touched my heart. And, you know, finding out about the casualties from all the wars and what we call the collateral damage, which is the civilians and the family members that get killed within the war. You know, the actual soldiers and warriors are really a small amount of the numbers.
That's true.
In all the wars.
That's true.
So anyway, that's what kind of put it all together. And so I did that for literally 3 or 4 solid years. I have a daughter that's very, very smart, and she's the one that edited for me, put it together, and got it published for me with Amazon, you know.
Well, I tell you what, you already said a mouthful. I mean, we have about a minute to break, and you feel that so fast for that segment. But what you're saying is so true, folks, and we have got to quit being so naive. We after you've been told the truth, you can no longer claim ignorance. This book will show you the truth. Now, this is, we talk about our military being killed, and they have been, but many, many, many more thousands, millions have been killed, innocent bystanders, so to speak. They're the collateral damages, he said, of wars. And we don't stop sometimes and think about the real cost of war, because the ones who instigate the wars are the ones who make the profit off of it. They don't care what it costs. They're making money. Now, I know it's hard to accept that, but it's just the way it is. We can laugh about, we can try to mock it and set aside and act like it's not true. But my friends, we have been played for suckers, and our sons and daughters have paid for many millionaires' pockets to be lined. And it's not over yet. We're still seeing it every day in this land and around the world. And brother, I admire what you've done. I really do. It had to hurt you 1,000 times more than me, because you went through so much more than I did. It had to really upset you to see what happened and realize how you were duped into doing this. My dad was a wounded soldier, a wounded prisoner of war in World War II. When he found out about Pearl Harbor and how it really happened, that broke his heart and made him mad at the same time. He lost friends in World War II himself. So, folks, back to break. A lot more to talk about and phone calls. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We're going to tell you how to get a copy of this book, too, folks. And I highly recommend the book. I do. If you want the truth, I recommend it.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Media experts and prophets say the great food shortage is coming in a few months. Most long-term food storage companies charge $9,000 to $10,000 for one person for 1 year. Joseph Kitchen does it not for half that price or a third that price, but go to Joseph Kitchen and get long-term emergency food for about $1,000 per person per year. We'll show you how to take the wheat, like in the days of Joseph the Pharaoh, grind it in 30 seconds, put it into a bread machine, push a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice, hot, nutritious loaf of whole wheat bread. It'll cut your food costs, and many say it's very delicious and nutritious. There is not one food a human can live on, but whole wheat bread may be the closest. If you go to Joseph's Kitchen, use the promo code BUTCH, you'll get a $50 discount, and it helps call to decision. That's Joseph's Kitchen, promo code BUTCH, for a $50 discount on what might be the cheapest and maybe the best thing to eat. JosephKitchen.com, promo code BUTCH.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents, the only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Folks, that theme song fits in. It's more relevant every day that this world goes on. This has been war for a long time. One day I'm going to do a little bit of talking on the warfare. We lost the spiritual war already. The church is sold out to the world, and now we're reaping the benefits of the physical war, this killing and slaughtering innocent people, destroying economies, and tearing down what's left of society. But our guest tonight is Alan Clark. He wrote a book entitled Soldiers, Blood, and Bloody Money, Wars and Ruling Elites, and I'm going to let Alan go and let him share a lot more of the 20s heart tonight. But if you have any questions, comments, if you want to add anything to it, please feel free to call at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We do want to hear from you because what you think is important. I'm here because you're there. And I hope we're both here to glorify our Father. That's what we're here for. But yes, bringing out the truth and sharing the truth is so important. Now, Alan, I'm going to shut up now and let you kind of just go the way you want to go. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm an author that's put a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of commitment and heart and soul into this book. And so it is self-published. It's so controversial and so full of faith and history and warfare and casualties that I just didn't even bother going to regular publishers because I knew the way the world is today, I'd be hassled and they didn't want to publish it. So I self-published it. My daughter helped me. So it's on. For those of you that have computers, you can order from Amazon and just go to Alan Clark, Soldiers, Blood, and Bloodied Money, and you can order it on the, it's $19.95. And for those of you who don't have a computer, get a piece of paper and a pencil, and I'll tell you how you can get something to me and get it directly from me, and I can sign it and mail it back to you at a regular mailing rate, and the regular price. So I'll give you another minute or two for that. So it was really kind of a struggle to it's really hard to write a book, and this is a thick book.
Yes, it is.
Over 30 pages, so it's something that you really need to work your way through. A couple of the best reviews that I got was one officer who had been involved in the Iraq War back in 2003 when it started, said every officer in the United States military should read Alan's book to understand what is behind why we go to war. I didn't talk about the Iraqi War or the Afghanistan War or even Vietnam, but I talked about, the history that brings us up to what causes wars. So that's what I've done. A second one said, Alan, he wrote a review and he told me, he says, this book is just like taking a college course in social and cultural and financial and economic and religious studies. He said it's like taking a year's semester. If you read the book, you can just learn so much. So I appreciate that. So back to, if you have your pencil and paper out there and you really are interested, which I hope you are, my email address is Alan, A-L-L-E-N, B as in boy, Clark, C-L-A-R-K, at AOL.com. So if you will send me an email, and get somebody that has a computer. I don't want to give my address out on over the radio. So you get to somebody that's got a computer and either have them go to Amazon for you or send an email to me and send me an email and have your address, and then I will tell you where to send $25, which take care of the book and the mailing. Okay, so that's how you can get it other than Amazon. behind everything, and we were talking about that at the break, Pastor, is, you know, the front part of what we see for the wars is, oh, well, there's this reason to go to war because, you know, they're violating this border, or they we want to get our land back that we used to have. And so before World War One, we had this land. It was redistributed, or, you know, we had all the taxation without representation for the American Revolution. The Civil War was mostly about slavery. There were a few other issues in states' rights, but mainly about slavery. We had to get rid of slavery, no question about it. The Spanish-American War was a lot about America producing more than the people in America could consume. So a lot of that was about the business people saying, we have got to expand to the Pacific. So they had their target eyes on the Philippines. And we also want to have a faster way to get to the Philippines and to Asia with everything that we're manufacturing on the eastern coast. So let's have a canal. Okay, so the French failed at a canal down in Central America. Originally, Nicaragua had a lot of attention. They finally settled on Panama. But, you know, Panama, a lot of protecting the Caribbean and Panama related to we had to get Cuba. We had to get Puerto Rico so we could protect the Caribbean for us to get through there. And the banana wars, I mean, it was like Guatemala, you know, had the banana United Fruit Company had a lot of land down there. They grew bananas. We all love to eat bananas, okay, all over the world. Okay, fine. But there was some story and problems there because the government wanted the United Fruit Company to pay more taxes, okay? And then there were issues about the bankers, and there were issues about who else besides the United States was getting power and influence in the Caribbean and in Central America, and the oil between, you know, Shell Oil Company and a British company and the United States company, who's going to drill here? Rockefellers were involved down in Mexico. So all of this came to bring the challenges that I write about. And, you know, there are three different kinds of people in the world. There are the sheep, which is the majority of us, just kind of are led around. And there are the wolves. The wolves are the people that are predators. And they're the ones that take advantage of power and greed and their money and position. And they're the ones that make money off the system and get power. And a lot of politicians, you know, in our own country, they go in with just their salary and look what they come out with. Now, where do they get all those millions of money that they come out with? But behind it all are the serpents. And, you know, we know from the Garden of Eden that the first enemy of God's people was the serpent, which was Satan. So there are the serpents behind the lines and underlying everything that are the power structure that are the really bad people. And I have grown to understand through spiritual warfare, and I've studied that, some of that's in the book also, that the ultimate challenge behind everything is the spiritual warfare and God versus the devil. You know, we had there was just a horrific war, a war of the worlds and land and power. And, you know, we know about the Israel coming and going. You know, I mean, beginning to study and worship their idols rather than the Lord that delivered them out of Egypt and got them across the Red Sea and protected them in the promised land. And they began to worship the idols. So the Assyrians took over Israel in 722. And then the Babylonians took over Judea in 586, you know. So this is kind of a lesson for us to recall, and that is when you stop worshiping the Lord and you start worshiping creation instead of the Creator, or you start worshiping all the different things that are politically beginning to be worshiped and cared about, and all the different things that the Lord told us about in the Bible, either the Old Testament or the New Testament, that are wrong for humanity and are wrong for people. These are the things that are our new idols today. And when we start to worship those idols rather than the Lord God in heaven, who sent his son 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for us, so we had a chance to be revived and to be renewed. Amen. given and resurrected, and you know, resurrected ourselves and our spirit. When that starts to happen, then we're due for a fall. And
you know, Brother Allen, he says in Psalm 106, because we've forgotten Him and sinned against Him, He'll put people to rule over us that hate us. And that's one way He judges His people in a nation. He puts people over that hate Him, that rule Him. And that's what's in America. Believe me, Christians are not, to me, people wear the title, but they're not truly born again. But true believers are very much disliked in the country today, even by a lot of churches, because the true believers won't compromise the Word of God. But you go ahead. We'll get phone calls in a minute, folks. Just bear with us. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of that, you know, a lot of the preparation for our building of the country and the people's will to win in the Revolutionary War was due to the great evangelists and the great awakenings in the United States. It is time for a great awakening. It is time for us to be bold and for us not to be pushy, but for us to live the life that Christ would want us to live, you know, to be bound to the character and attributes of God, you know, righteousness, holiness, integrity, and purity, and and to be bound to the mind of Christ to learn wisdom and to live by the fruit of the and reflect the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we do those things diligently, and if we reach out to people and we help people, and we especially reach out to younger people and show them a way of life and care about them and care about the poor and the community and so forth, this reflects Christian charity, and this has got to be shown. But we've got to be bold. The reason I am what I am is because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He said he set certain things up for us to live by, and that's what I'm going to live by, and that's what I'm going to vote by. Politically, I'm not going to let these people run over me. You know, we're destined, as we know from the Book of Revelation and Daniel, for the end times to happen. Whether that is what is beginning to happen today or not in our society is a different issue. But if the powers of evil that are been moving through our country, starting with communism in the 1850s. Marx and Lenin, and especially after the Bolshevik Revolution and what Stalin brought in to USSR, Russia, and what they've been slowly, it's like the water torture, a little bit of drip, drip, drip on us, the way they are pushing back in our society today to change the land. We must stand firm. We must say, no further. You're not coming any further. And the people that we're going to vote for are the ones that are going to restore America, defend America, and make America strong, not only militarily and not only socially, but spiritually. And
well, spiritually is the primary one. Unless we have that, we don't have anything else anyway.
None of the rest matters.
That's,
you know,
right.
That anybody else, Pastor, you teach and preach it, I'm sure.
Well, we've seen America decline, but it declined morally first. The rest of it comes later. You know, what the Bible says in Colossians, that everything was created by Christ and everything consists by Christ. Well, the consistency that builds a nation is like the mortar that holds the blocks together. Once that consistency or the mortar is removed or taken out, the blocks are not very strong. They look like a wall, but the first wind blows them over. Where America had that consistency, we had Christ for a while. We were built and built together as a nation with the consistency and the moral teachings and the laws of God. We lost that. And now we have so much immorality that people actually believe, even the children are starting to believe, that they have a right to be immoral, they have a right to change sexes, they have a right to do all these things. And now they're talking about legalizing pedophilia. Matter of fact, they quit calling them pedophiles. They're calling it MAPS, minor attracted people. Folks, this is America today. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey.
How are you guys? Doing good?
Good.
There are no civilians in a war.
Well, that's basically true, yeah. whether they like it or not.
They're defined as civilians, but
yeah,
they're on the battlefield. They suffer like the soldiers do.
Yes, they do. Every war is a battle between good and evil. if you accept the cause, or what the people say is the cause of war, you're on the side of the bad. The good knows that there's an underlying reason, that there's someone there that's going to, Satan is somehow going to benefit from what's going on. And you have to look at this and say, why? And we've never done that.
Well, we haven't enough of a scale to make a whole lot of difference yet. As Brother Allen said, K Bono, I mean, who profits? And it is no soldier that is laying in the mud or the jungles or in the sand somewhere else fighting in a foreign soil. They're not the ones profiting of that. They're not at all. It's the ones reaping benefits of the side effects of war, like getting the natural resources, controlling the nations. Those are one of the benefits. The soldiers are pawns. Yeah. Go ahead.
That was what it wasn't about. The Civil War wasn't about slavery. The Civil War is about states' rights versus federal rights. And at the end of that war, a lot of the states' rights were declined.
Well, they were, and you're right. The main thrust was states' rights. The slave situation wasn't brought up later on until Lincoln used it for his own advantage. But nonetheless, once the South lost that war, now folks, listen to this: we all become slaves. Oh yeah, read it for yourself. 13th, 14th Amendment makes all slaves to the federal government. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe you're a slave, don't pay tax on your house 1 year. See, he owns your house. Don't pay tribute to Caesar when it's illegally taken from you, and see who puts you in jail. We become slaves. The whole nation, blacks and whites, every other race, become slaves after that. Go ahead, Jan, finish up.
You're absolutely right, Pastor. And just as closing, I want to say that this is the 40th anniversary of the wall. This year is the 40th anniversary of the wall.
Well,
Veterans
forgot about
Day,
that.
They're going to do, for the first, I think it's two or three days before the Veterans Day this year, they will have the reading of all the names on the wall like they always do. But there is something that the veterans built. And they built it. They started it. They built it, and they saw it through. But they also, when the military was degraded, because that was another side effect of Vietnam, the troops were humiliated because of all that was going on at home, another cause and effect of war. And they said, no, it wasn't going to happen to the guys with Iraq. And that, it was the Vietnam veterans that stood up and said that's not going to happen, and they started supporting them too. They saw what was going on. They realized what they were trying to do, and they're doing it again.
Well, one of the biggest
you're all about. They're doing it again.
One of the biggest impacts of the Vietnam War for us that were there is that people were against the war, but they were also against the warriors, which was significantly horrible for us. At least today, the country, even though we go to a war and we question Iraq and Afghanistan incursions, we support our troops. We support our warriors. And this is a great thing for our people that go to war, that they are appreciated by the country, whether the country necessarily appreciates what they went to do. And we were significantly hurt emotionally during Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. And that was that's what the veterans brought out. The Vietnam veterans stood for is for support of the soldiers, not the war, but the soldiers. Because my brother, and I've told the radio audience this before, he's got the Navy Cross for gallantry. When he came home from Vietnam, he was spit on at the airport.
Yeah, I know. It was horrible for us. Just horrible.
And I've talked to a lot of them, and they all say the same thing. The ones that will talk about it.
That's very true.
The ones that
will
talk about it.
But
that
guy
jumped, gets more calls coming in.
It's all good versus evil. It's all good versus evil.
It is. It really is.
What we always have to ask, what does God say?
Amen. Amen. Good call, Jan. Thanks. Let's go next to George in New Hampshire. George, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Whitson. Hi, Mr. Clark.
Hi there,
George. Your program with great interest. Hi. I know you gentlemen agree with me that most of the history is warfare. And I'll tell you something, just a quick antidote was, you know, for all the stories about Vietnam, now, I served during the very end of the war, and they didn't send me over there by that time because they were kind of phasing it out. But I remember 1969, we went to Washington, D.C. as a youth group, and it was during that February vacation they called Washington's birthday for a week, and I know we remember that. I guess they renamed it now. But I remember the bus stopped at Arlington National Cemetery on a Saturday. None of the adult leaders got out. The only a couple of kids got out to light up cigarettes and just chit-chat. And then I saw a stairway going up a hillside that was many flights. So I went up the flights. I said, I don't know when I'm going to get to go to Arlington National Cemetery again in my lifetime. So I said, I wanted to go. So I ran up the stairs and I came up. And I didn't have any map or anything. I just had that exploring nature. So all of a sudden, I came across, it looked like a great captain's house, but it had three columns and a big, it was compact, but it was solidly built, and you could tell it was a plantation at one time or a farm, and that was Robert E. Lee's house. And
yes,
it was empty, there was no one around, so, yeah. And I went beyond it, though, and there was a bluff there, and that bluff had a commanding view of that particular corner of Arlington National Cemetery. And the Tet Offensive was going full tilt. And nothing drove home to me of the tragedy of that war is when I saw the honor guard behind a wagon with a flag-draped coffin on it, horse-drawn, that was pulling the body of some U.S. serviceman who had died overseas. And then my eyes took in a fuller view, and I saw it almost was like watching a clock mechanism of all the gears. And you could see each one. Some of them were empty with the flag just draped on a flat wagon, and the other ones marching in. And it was like it was so vast, and it was so many of these funerals going on that drove home to me to this day more than anything that could have ever done on television. I mean, outside of being there, I'm just saying is that I remember. And then the war, the Civil War wasn't fought over slavery. I have to disagree with you, Sarah. I think that was the slur that was cast upon the South when she lost. Because like you said, Pastor Butch, in your research, for 10 years afterwards in the northern part of the United States, slavery continued. And the last thing I'll just say, I know you have other callers, is just, I don't mean to go on and on, but I'll just say the last thing I'll say is just that if the South came very close to Gettysburg for winning, I think it was one main regiment intimidated
them about 15 seconds
after
left,
they had
about
run
15
out of
seconds.
Ammo. I'll just say, but they said the country would have broken up, not into the Confederacy and the Union. It would have broken up to about five different countries. So,
that's possible.
But I'm sorry. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, good call.
God bless you,
and very quickly,
Alan,
one more time, tell folks I can get your book. We're running out of time. Tell me I can get the book.
Well, it's on Amazon. Alan Clark, A-L-L-E-N-C-L-R-K, Soldier's Blood and Bloodied Money on Amazon. And once again, if you don't have a computer, I don't want to give out my address over the wire, but get to somebody that has a computer and send me a message at Alan, A-L-L-E-N-B, Clark, C-L-A-R-K, at AOL.com, and give me your address. Send me a check for $5, send you an autographed book.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Good talk to you. Folks, we're fighting our time. God bless, Alan. I'll be in touch again. And folks, by the grace of God, I will see you tomorrow night again. So have a wonderful night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE
csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.